So you were writing for the BBC for...
Well, no, they had this thing called the writer's room, and it was literally a little room in Broadcasting House full of typewriters. And you turned up there once a week, and they'd give you a brief as what was going to happen in the two topical shows they did, one of which was called Week Endings, and one of which was called News Hudlines. Week Endings was on Radio 4, and you've got lots of very Oxbridge types, you know, been in Footlights.
Yeah, Stephen Fry sort of thing.
Yeah, and they wrote in there, and then... I ever got a gag in Week Endings, but I did get several in the News Hudlines with Roy Hudd and June Whitfield, and that was great. I got the first check and saved it. And then
you got paid per joke?
You got paid per gag, yeah.
And then News Headlines, sorry, what's it
news
called?
The News Hudlines, it was called. And then we went on from there. Quite a lot of us went on to do bits and bobs for Spitting Image, which was then also...
So you were involved with Spitting Image?
Only in a very, very tangential way, writing the occasional gag, yeah.
Yeah. The one I particularly liked on that one was the one with Margaret Thatcher and the vegetables.
Yeah.
I mean, that just is going to be class. That's going to be one of the most class jokes of all time. Mm.
No, completely. Completely. Not one of mine, sadly.
Yeah, I can see it's your humour.
Yes. Where have I put my egg spoon?
No, not guilty. No, haven't taken your eggs. I could take your oven or your fridge.
Very, she's a very messy cook, and I'm completely clean as you go.
Yeah, I noticed that. You're quite methodical, aren't you?
Well, methodical, but also minimal movement. You know, you don't want to be dancing around and chucking stuff and throwing things and being noisy and yelly. It's all going to be very, very economical movement. I worked with a fantastic chef in South Carolina who was a ballet dancer. It was great to watch her moving around the kitchen. I haven't got anything like her grace, but... I do have that sort of economy of movement, I hope.
I'm getting a weird image of you in a tutu. It's just so magical.
That's bloody terrifying. You'll get that one out of your brain quickly. You'll never recover. Yeah.
Right, so we're having another attempt at the egg. Another and that looks a little bit better, this one. It does look a little bit firmer.
Do you know, it's a funny old thing, isn't it, the whole egg boiling thing? I never really had boiled eggs much since I was a kid. And the other day I had a sudden urge for a boiled egg and I realised I didn't know how to cook one. I actually had to phone my mum and say, Mum, how do you boil an egg? And only because I refused point blank to look at Delia. I couldn't. I just couldn't bring myself to do that. So I phoned mum instead. She told me all about it.
You could have tweeted, you know. You would have had about 400 or 500 responses on how to boil an egg.
Yeah, and most of them would have been, oh my God, Tim Hayward doesn't know how to boil an egg. So I kept that one reasonably quiet.
I think they would have just thought it was your humour.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, now this looks a little bit more like it. We don't have too much cracking in the meat of the egg.
Good. So we're good. Well, we're on with this egg. So have we managed to boil an egg, Tim?
We have. This one's bang on at 4.5 minutes. It's just right. You can feel the yolk still soft in the centre.
Yeah.
But, I mean, of course, I have no idea what size this egg is because it's free range and ungraded. Which is the best way to buy them, but the worst way to try and boil them. So I'm putting that back in the ice water just to make sure it absolutely stops cooking while I quietly recycle my eggshells from my compost bin. Oh, it's like Little House on the Prairie here in Camden Town. It really is. We've got a great compost heap.
Oh, I'm kicking the bucket here.
There's more compost collection down there in Mikaddy. Yeah.
So do you grow your own vegetables?
I did a couple of years ago, did quite a fair bit of it. I just thought it was important my daughter at that age could, you know, have the experience of putting stuff in the ground and it growing. Pretty much everywhere in central London, the soil is just so awful. Absolutely unbelievable. I mean, I had to dig a metre deep hole, build a wall around it, and then fill it with compost before I could actually get anything alive at all. It's very poisonous clay and just awful, awful stuff to grow in.
I think we've got quite nice soil in Northamptonshire, sure, in the main.
Yeah, it's rural and lovely. That's what it's for. That's why you live there.
And you're moving to Cambridgeshire, I hear.
Yes, moving to Cambridge. Well, not Cambridgeshire. I'm going to move right to the heart of Cambridge. I want to be right in the urban, throbbing centre, the ghetto, so I can be down with the kids in the centre of Cambridge, because I imagine it's pretty rough and tough up there.
Actually, it's just gorgeous. I was there the other day, I was with a lady who makes British aprons called Cooking Gorgeous, and it was just sublime. There were beautiful students walking around everywhere, and it was heavenly. I could have stayed.
I didn't know she was in Cambridge. I've got one of her aprons. I met her at an event recently, and she was lovely. She gave me an apron, so I shall hook up with her as soon as I'm in Cambridge. And it would be lovely to see her.
I don't use any other, frankly, because she's British. And like your cooker, I think again, these small people, British industry, British business, I think it's about having principles when you're working.
No substitute.
Exactly. Accept no substitute. I love it. Thank you. You've beaten an egg, mm-hmm. and you've wrapped that boiled egg in the sausage meat that you were making earlier.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And you've dropped it in that beaten egg.
Dropped in the beaten egg, tossing it with some sourdough breadcrumbs. Get a good thick layer on that. I might actually double it, which is double wash it and double yolk. And I'm going to put the whole lot in the fridge to let it set up.
Right.
I'm probably not even going to take it out of the breadcrumbs when I put it in the fridge. Just the less you mess with it, I think the better it's going to be at this stage. And then let's take a couple of shots of it. Then we can put it in the fridge. And then it's going to have something to eat. I'm starving.
Yeah, I have to agree. I'm definitely hungry. This recipe that you're putting together is actually for a series of sort of a show to how to.
Photo how tos. They're just really popular on The Guardian. I think they're. It's a nice way to use the medium, I think, to do something sort of instructive and help people. So we choose subjects that involve a certain degree of kitchen technique, mm-hmm. where there's actually some benefit in showing people how it's done physically. And then I'll write a little recipe around it. It's always very simple. I mean, I don't mess with the standard recipes at all on these right. things. It just wouldn't be right. But that's what the barbecue thing I'm doing today is the same sort of thing. I mean, showing people how to do North Carolina pulled pork barbecue in a back garden in Camden Town. Without having a large smoker that'll be a great boon to humanity. I think should get us plenty of hits from the States as well, where if you say anything about barbecue, they get incredibly cross.
They feel quite possessive about it.
They feel very possessive about their barbecue, and I like that. That's the start of a bit of controversy there.
You're just walking over to the fridge to put that in.
Now, I'm first, yeah,
right, okay. So I'm distracted. You see, I'm distracting you.
That's fine. I'm happy to be distracted by someone ravishing as yourself.
He does say some lovely things, you know.
He does. There we go.
So. The last one that you were telling me about, haggis, how many hits did that actual haggis have?
I don't know. It's certainly in the millions. And then every Burns night, it gets hit again and again and again. That's because if you search on haggis, it comes to the top.
It's interesting because we're talking again about print versus the new media. Mm. Having these sort of blog posts, and I mean, this is one of those things that it never goes away. Once these posts are up online, they don't disappear, do they?
No, they're forever. That's the beauty of it. You know, they'll just sit there, and I dare say my haggis will be hanging around in 20 years' time. What a frightening prospect.
We've just taken this gorgeous, huge. In fact, I had no idea it was going to be so big. Actually, it's a super sized. Giant
pork and egg cholesterol grenade. This thing. this is a bomb of an egg, and it should be interesting. We're gonna semi shallow fry it, so in about an inch of oil. So hopefully it should float in there and roll, which enables us to get a good finish on it.
Float and roll at the same time in the oil.
Well, you know, if you deep fry something, you sink it in the hot fat. If you shallow fry it, then you're using the fat just to stop it sticking to the pan. So there's a sort of semi-shallow, semi-deep frying you can do. Where with an inch of oil, then the food kind of floats in the surface of the oil. But you've got to be able to roll it. And I think if you've got an entirely spherical egg, this might be a good way of doing this. So we'll give it a try.
We've got this gorgeous oven of yours. And right in the centre of here is this pan. It's actually quite easy. There's a lot of room in that pan for it to move around. And that oil, you can see, by the way, it's sort of... I suppose, marbling across the top, that oil is getting really nice and hot in there. We don't want it to get too hot because obviously that's going to sort of change the flavour of the oil.
That's right.
So what point do you know to drop that in, Tim?
Wow. This is where we go for the geekery again.
Oh, we've got a thermometer here. I never use thermometers, I'm afraid.
Probe thermometer. So this is what you'd use for the internal temperature of meat for safety. But it's very useful for things like this. So the oil's up at 140 now. Mm. 160. That's really steaming up. 170. So we should be about ready any time now to go in. I think probably about 200 will you be getting a little bit too hot to fiddle with it. But this is actually a stonking great oven. I mean, it really is it's pretty powerful. So I can turn the temperature down a little bit.
So for those of us who don't have the temperature thermometer, what are we looking for? We're looking for the oil not to be spitting. We're looking That's for right. it to just, it's heated up, I guess, probably on full for about 80, 90 seconds.
Again, this is one of the reasons that recipes are so difficult. It's because no two people's kitchen equipment or oven is set the same. There's no real way of judging. I mean, you know, your pan will be a different size to mine. Your oven will have a different BTU. You'll be different using a different kind of oil, different age of oil. This oil has been used once before, so you know it has a different kind of response time. I don't know. It's one of the reasons I just find recipes a little difficult to try and transmit.
Into it.
Yeah, hang on.
Sorry, sizzling away. And Tim's just taking some photographs of this. And the bottom half is going a beautiful golden crispy colour. And in fact, it's just what I would say if you were looking at boiling water, it's just very gently simmering.
Yeah.
And the heat's just come down. So in comparison to water, it's just a gentle, easy simmer.
That's it.
Well, this Scotch egg has come out of the oil. And it's lovely and crunchy and dark and bronzed almost on the outside, and we're just checking now to see if that's cooked. Now, the question is it going to be cooked on the inside?
I don't think we've got a correct internal temperature on this. I think we probably need to go a little bit of oven time there now.
Well, it's better safe than sorry. I think if anyone's making a recipe like this, it's all with pork especially. There are certain meats you can get away with, but pork really has to be cooked all the way through. So just to make sure that it's absolutely bang on. A low temperature in the oven for...
About 150, I'd say, probably for about 20 minutes would do it.
Okay, and that will keep it at a temperature that would then make sure any bugs in there would be absolutely dead.
To about 75 degrees on the meat, and the meat layer is not that thick, but you've been in the internal temperature that does need to be to get to 75.
And also, it came straight out of the fridge, so it would have actually been chilled in the fridge.
Yeah,
so in reality, had it have been brought up to perhaps... room temperature, it perhaps would have cooked it in different, because you've got a cold balance, haven't you?
Yeah, but at room temperature, it also becomes very, the pork doesn't hold together.
Right.
So obviously, it would be flexible and wet, and it would collapse in the oil. So you've got to go in cold. It's difficult when they're this size. I think, I did quite a chunky sausage meat there. So I think if you did a smoother sausage meat, you could probably do a slightly more elegant, thin coating. It's also quite a large egg. But we'll see. It should work through.